As we think about the birth of Christ, we discover that it's not mentioned in all four Gospels. It's only mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. Mark begins with the ministry of Christ, and John takes us back long before time ever began to eternity, when there was only God, and He eternally existed, happy and complete in Himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But he mentions the birth of Christ indirectly in John 1:14 when he says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father." So we have the gospel, we have the account of the birth of Christ in two of the Gospels, but we have actually a third account, and it's an account that I used for a three-part series a few years back. And I'd like you to read with me on page 1416. That third account of the birth of Christ. And I want to tell you that it is, in many ways, the most revealing of all the three accounts of the birth of Christ. Page 1416. "Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and His throne." May we pray. Lord, help me in a very brief way to share the story of the birth of Christ in a meaningful and fresh way. For Jesus' sake, amen. I want to submit to you an idea, and the idea is this: that you can't trust the newspaper or the history book. You see, history books and newspapers, and especially modern-day entertainment called TV news, really just gives us a snippet of information. They don't really take us into the depth of things. The depth of things, I submit to you, can never be understood without pulling back the curtain and understanding the ultimate conspiracy theory. See, the Bible teaches very clearly that there is a conspiracy going on in the world, and it's been going on for a very long time. And it's a conspiracy that you don't see written about in the newspapers. I'm not talking about Bilderbergers and councils on foreign relations and trilateral commissions or all that other stuff. I don't know whether that's true or not true. I've never sat down with the Rothschilds and others and had a glass of cognac with them and let them share with me their secret plans. I don't even know if they exist. But I know there is a conspiracy, and I know that that conspiracy is working out in the world. And if we understand this conspiracy as it's talked about in Revelation 12, we have a whole lot better understanding of current events, of history, and of where the world is going. You see, the reality is this manger scene is defective. It doesn't give you the whole story. Oh, it weaves certain events like Luke's account where the angels come and Matthew's account where the magi come, but it's missing a key player that makes this thing a real drama. What's missing is, and I've never seen it on any manger scene, is up there with that angel is a great fiery dragon, a pseudo-midwife. There he is in this 12th chapter of Revelation, a pseudo-midwife, Revelation 12:4, and he says he stands before the woman who is ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. That's the reality of history. All of this warm and friendly stuff about angels and shepherds and magi really doesn't make sense until you put it in the context of a great cosmic war manipulating people, working through events. You see, it's when we pull the curtain back. That's what an apocalypse is. An apocalypse pulls the curtain back. The apocalypse allows you to see when you're watching the marionettes. It allows you to see who the string pullers are. And believe me, the world is governed by string pullers. But again, it's not the super wealthy. It's not an international banking cartel. The real string pullers are people, or non-human persons, we may say, that you and I cannot see except with the eye of faith unless God pulls the curtain back. And here it is, real history. She bears a son. Christmas is a terrifying and glorious night. It's a glorious night because the angels sing and they tell us that there is coming to be peace on earth. And yet we look at the world around us and we say, peace on earth? And even our hymns reflect that. Ye beneath life's crushing load. Or the Christmas carol written during the Civil War, there is no peace on earth. Christmas is a terrifying night too because there really is a great red dragon. He's called that old snake. He's called Satan. He's called the devil. And he's called the dragon. And he really is active in history. And politicians and kings and soldiers and philosophers are manipulated by him to do his will. He plays on the megalomaniacal Herod, manipulating him to want to kill the Christ child. All of these things. So the reality is, if we want to really see the manger as it is that we're missing the key player in this deal. A key player, I should say, because God ultimately is triumphant. And it tells us something else, this 12th chapter of Revelation. What you read in the newspaper isn't the real story. The real story is what's behind the scenes. We look at the world in which we live, and we see, for example, in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12, page 1417, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. We look at world events. We look at this new phenomenon, at least in American history, the rise of militant atheism and evangelistic atheism and all of the cockamamie foolishness that's on the internet with people who haven't really studied things and yet write websites. We see that and we see our system. We see a constitutionally limited republic being turned more and more intrusive into our lives. We look at the lack of peace in the world. We see the rise of militant Islam and all these other things. We look at the corruption of our society and we say, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. And yet this apocalypse pulls the curtain back and tells us it isn't really going to hell in a handbasket. The reason the world is so full of evil at this point is that Satan has been defeated. He's been cast out of heaven and he's come down to earth with great wrath. The wrath of a defeated soldier who's determined to wreak havoc, as much havoc as he can, before he's finally locked up forever. That's what Revelation 12:12 is telling us. So what I want to tell you is that the Christmas story, to be understood rightly, has to include this third account of the birth of Christ, this apocalyptic account, this account where the curtain is pulled back and we see what's really going on in the world. What's really going on in the world is a malignant, malevolent force of evil that manipulates events to bring destruction on us. And he almost succeeds. That's what's so dramatic, isn't it, when we read in the Gospel of Matthew about the Magi. Herod almost tricks them into telling him where the Christ child is. Herod almost wins. He wipes out 2 years of babies in Bethlehem and its regions. But some way, Christ escapes, and he's taken down to Egypt, and he returns, and he fulfills his mission. And so, again, this dragon, This dragon who's come to earth is full of fury and rage. And as we sing these old Christmas carols, we reflect on the fact that the world is not yet the world that God meant it to be. The world that we see is a world that's full of injustice. It's full of evil. It's full of disease and death and so many other things. And yet, if we allow ourselves to see behind the veil, we see that the world is being manipulated by a supernatural force who is defeated, Satan himself. So the great red dragon is there above the manger scene, waiting to devour the Christ child and eager to devour you and me. But he is a defeated foe. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas, that the defeat of Satan was dawning with the birth of the Christ child. There's something else here, and it's this. An apocalypse, the pulling back of a veil, reminds us of something, and that is we can't really understand history because history is not made up of great events. History is really caused by little events. Little events that seem of no consequence. Think about the birth of Jesus. We celebrate it from the perspective of over 2,000 years of history. And we look and we say, well, it's the most significant birth in all of history. But think of the birth of Jesus of Nazareth in its historical context. It's the backwaters of the Roman Empire. It's the place that no Roman politician wants to be assigned to. Who wants to be governor of Judea with all those crazy people who refuse to eat a good piece of ham? Who wants to go there where people are like atheists? They won't worship the gods that everybody accepts. They will worship someone they can't even see. Who wants to go there, and yet in this backwaters of the Roman Empire, a peasant family arrives at night, and there's no room for them in the inn. And were it not for the angels that announce his birth to the shepherds, and were it not for the supernatural star that guided the Magi from the east, it is the most obscure of births. Who is born in the stall where animals are fed? This obscure peasant birth. And yet it's the birth of this baby that with the curtain pulled back, we see that Satan can see things that ordinary people can't see. He knows the significance of this insignificant birth. He knows the significance of this peasant child born of the Virgin Mary. And that's why he's determined to pour all hell loose to destroy this baby, because he knows that history comes about through little, seemingly unimportant events that no one notices until they've grown up. The Christ child grew up. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross and rose again. He's coming again, and that is the meaning of history. The dragon is defeated. That's why we sing Christmas carols. That's why we sing things like Joy to the World, because Satan has been defeated, and the God of peace shall soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Would you join me as we extinguish lights and light our candles to sing our last hymn, 253, Silent Night.